Claire.
Thank you. Choir, thank you for that. Getting ready for this, I thought about it. Some of you might not know. I was a scoutmaster, and I figured out I became a scoutmaster 38 years ago. Only did it for a couple of years. It was a very important experience, and I think it's really great in the history. You might wonder why. I've never known a church to be as connected to a troop. I've certainly known troops to be connected to churches, but not as closely and so much of a feel of connectedness as we have here. We celebrate Scout Sunday on the nearest date to Lord Baden-Powell's birthday, which I think, if I remember right, it is February 5th. Is that correct? Do you remember? Oh, it's the start of the Scouts in America, not his birthday. There we go. So we're near it. Got it. And we welcome you all. We know that we come from different faiths, and yet we all seek the light of life. And so we welcome you to this worship service. Today, we're going to talk about one of the major pilgrimages in Judaism. There are three. There's the Festival of Weeks, which we as Christians call Pentecost now, and that is a celebration of the giving of the law in Judaism, and it happens in the spring. The second one is the Passover. The Festival of the Weeks is later in the summer. The Passover is in spring, And the third one is Sukkoth or Sukkot, the booths, the festival of the lights, which celebrates the cloud of smoke that led the people in the journey as they pilgrimed toward what would become Israel. And the reason I mention that is this passage will allude to the Pentecost story in Christianity, because Jesus will refer to rivers of living water. And he relates them directly to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that's given at Pentecost in our Christian tradition. But at the same time, it's not happening during Pentecost. It's happening during Sukkot, which is the festival of the booths, where in ancient Judaism, the people would pilgrim to Jerusalem but live in concocted booths, remembering the time that their ancestors wandered in the wilderness. And with that background, I'm going to invite you up, Phil, to read our passage for today.
Some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, "Is not this the man whom they are trying to kill? And here he is speaking openly, but they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Messiah? Yet we know where this man is from. But when the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from." And Jesus cried out as he was teaching in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I am from. I have not come on my own, but the one who sent me is true, and you do not know him. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." Then they tried to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him because his hour had not yet come. Yet many in the crowd believed in him and were saying, "When the Messiah comes, will he do more signs than this man has done?" The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering such things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent the temple police to arrest him. Jesus then said, "I will be with you a little while longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will search for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, you will search for me and you will not find me, and where I am you cannot come? On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Phil. You know, rivers of living water is a theme through the Gospel of John, and we're in the midst of studying all the way through John right now as a congregation. In John 4, you'll remember when we met the Samaritan woman, Jesus talked about a spring of water that was gushing up to eternal life. And he told her about living water that changed her life. You know, it's interesting. Oh, Cole just took off. But no. I that's fine. At this point, I was going to say, and I will. I got to experience a little living water this week as a pastor. Whenever a young man comes to me to work on one of his merit badges, and in his case, it was a Cub Scout process of his God and country position. There he is. Yay! Cole is about to become a member of Troop 609. He's coming your way, but he just is in the final throes of his Cub Scout years, and it is living water to watch as young men continue to achieve things in life. So Cole, congratulations. Look forward to the buddies you're going to hang out with. All right? Congratulations. We find Jesus in the Sukkot, the Festival of Booths, as they're sitting, granting a time of remembrance, a time of thinking about their ancestors' stress for the 40 years as they traveled through the wilderness. They stay in these booths, and then they come to the temple every day. Jerusalem is crowded because it's one of the three pilgrimage holidays. And so it's packed with people. And on the very last day of the Sukkot celebration, there is a ritual where the priests go to the Pool of Siloam and they get water and they bring it to the temple and they pour it ritually on the altar. And as they pour it, they also pour wine on the altar, thanking God for his gracious provision in their lives. It's at this point that Jesus stands up and shouts in the middle of everybody, I am living water. You can imagine the effect it had on people. It had an amazing effect on people. But it also brought to mind their historic Jewish understanding of water. Isaiah 44:3 says, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Or again in Isaiah 55, he says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. This is one of the great expressions of our God. He wants all to thrive. He wants all to know and understand how much his love is for us all. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Lord God, as we look at this scripture passage and what it means to be rivers of living water and what it means to have that spirit flow in us and through us, Lord, open each of our hearts and minds to what it means for our lives. For Lord, you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the water looked clean, but the children kept getting sicker and sicker. No one knew what to do. One pastor said, one time I had four children all in the hospital at once. This little rural pastor who had very, very little education in a village in Laos. But in his rural village, people didn't understand about germs and disease and transmission in the local water. Enter engineers Jack Irwin and Art Moore, who discover a joint project called Living Waters that happens globally around the world, but was identified by a church in Fresno called University Press. And Jack traveled up there and traveled up there again with Art, and they were trained to be a part of a partnership that would go to Laos and bring fresh water to rural villages. Now, as they presented that, what became exciting to me was I've been on mission fields. But as a pastor, you can't get out there much anymore. But I could be a part of their excitement. And you heard the report of Jack and Art, who went and had a great experience with the people of Laos bringing fresh water systems that their engineering training helped them to perfect. And they were so excited that they came back a second time, this time adding Scott Bullock. It's growing. And it was a joy to Brenda and I to be able to be a part of that by supporting them. And many of you who'd signed up as partners in the Living Water process. You see, clean water begins with somebody dreaming about it for someone. And Jack and Art joined a dream and made it a reality. Whenever the Bible speaks of living water, it's pointing us in several different directions. I said that the Greek word for living water meant water that was running freely, because we know that running freely water is safer water to drink. As scouts, I'm sure you learned that you don't drink still water. You drink living water that has aeration going through it. It's cleaned. But it also means the spirit in the Greek language. It means the spirit of something that's alive, that's real. In Jesus' case, both of those connected very really. But John's gospel offers a third explanation. It says, now Jesus said this about the Spirit. He physically connected those two terms. And the believers were about to receive this Spirit because Jesus was not yet glorified, he said. So it's a futuristic hope that we celebrate in what we call Pentecost. But living water and Holy Spirit both give us hope for the future. Clean water and the Spirit of God can flow in some powerful ways through the lives of individuals and particularly people as we connect with one another. Because clean water leads to something more. It leads to health, which leads to productivity, which leads to education, which leads to commerce and forward progress. It's not simply about a cup of cold water. It's about a future. Jesus tells us that the power of the Holy Spirit has that same effect with people. Hope. Just one drop. Because where water is, there is community. When I was in Africa, the safe well that we had put in was the place where the women gathered to chat. They had their little coffee klatch, as we might call it, over just cold water and drawing water out of the well. It was a community experience. And you know, that's what Jesus did with the Spirit. We find later in John's gospel in chapter 20 that Jesus breathed on them. Imagine Jesus just looking at his disciples and going, and when he breathed on him, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, that wouldn't happen until he was resurrected at Pentecost. But take it in. Take in that spirit of life. That spirit of water drenching you. That's available to all of us today. Do you know, when we plunge into the life of a Christian community, recent studies have discovered that religion actually is good for our health, especially our mental health. Churchgoers, they say, are happier and more satisfied with their lives than are people who don't attend services. And there was a study in the University of Michigan that asked, why is this? They wondered if it was the power of prayer or the inspiration of great music, or the uplifted sermon that they received. Surprisingly, it was none of those reasons. According to the University of Wisconsin, religion makes us happy because of friendship. It's all about the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through connections between people. That's why his partnership's so valuable. In the Faith Matters study of 2006 and 7, 33% of those that attended religious services and reported having close friends at church said they were extremely satisfied with their lives, whereas only 19% of those who went to church but had no close relationships with people in the congregation reported the same satisfaction. We're happier when we're a part of the body, connected to people around us. The study's lead researcher reports it is not really going to church and listening to great sermons. I inserted great. That's to get back at the sign that's been out there this last couple weeks. Or praying that makes people happier. But making church-based friends and building intimate social network. Now that might bruise the ego of a preacher a little bit. And make John Favalesa right. But everyone else is going to nod and say, yep, that's right. When I find community and people I can rely on and learn that they can rely on me, transformation happens. You know, one of those transformations happened this week. Julia Ballou, I saw her here, I think it was Tuesday night. Was it Tuesday? And she was coming to open up for Family Promise that we're hosting. Or it was one of those days. And she was so nervous. She said, "Bill, I've never done this." And then she came in today and she goes, "I loved it." You know, serving people is quite an experience. And then I heard from Barbara Moore, who came that night when they were shooting NCIS. And she looked at me and she said, "Oh my gosh, we had to keep the kids quiet upstairs. And it was so hard because I was tasked to keep quiet this little kid who would not sit still." And then she ended and she said, "But I got to see Mark Harmon." We are part of a global situation, not simply this nation. And you know, the fastest growing part of our church is in the poorest regions of the world. And there, if you're there and see it, they rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. They take very seriously what Jesus said when he breathed on people, that God is with them, empowering them. When they say, "I'm going to do something good," even a little act, God is in it. And God will bless it. You see, that's why I said when our adult ministry shows the insanity of God on February 26th, come and see it. I cried through it. It's the story of a husband and wife who labored in the mission field in some of the most horrible parts of the world. And the agonies that we read about in the newspapers. And it's not all great. We're not recommending it for children. But it's at the same time, the reliance on God when you're in a situation to do what's good. Transformation begins with just a drop. This week, just think about one situation. Put in your mind one child that might be in poverty, or one friend that might be struggling in life. Let a little simple prayer go, and one drop will become a trickle. A trickle is when you share it with someone else. Pray for my friend so-and-so. Help by coming to Family Promise. You know, I just love seeing that action happening. Because eventually a trickle becomes a river. And a river carries God's love around the world. John 7:38. Out of a believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Amen? Amen. Let us stand together and sing.